CIUT 89.5, Toronto.
Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. With me is Phil Conlon. How you doing, Phil?
Yes, good afternoon, Phil.
Today we're going to talk to Renee Mugenzi, who is a proprietor, I would call it, of the Global Campaign for Rwandan Human Rights, a very important organization taking up the issue of genocide against Hutus in Rwanda. From 1990, I presume, till now. And we'll be talking to him shortly. And we're going to also be talking about 20 after the hour or half past with Anne Garrison, Pacifica Radio and Black Agenda Report, or if you want to eliminate the middleman. Anne Garrison has a Twitter handle. And these Twitter people are ruling the universe, as you may have noticed. It's a very important issue, this question of Rwanda, as listeners to Taylor Report knows. I think while we're waiting to speak to Renee, we might tackle a couple of matters. Oh, there's Mr. Gowans.
Right.
He's speaking in Hamilton.
First matter, 7 o'clock tonight, New Visions United Church, 24 Main Street West in Hamilton.
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
You have time to finish your dinner, hop up and get over there. My experience is, by the way, most people do decide in the first 30 minutes, in the last 30 minutes, they say, okay, I'm going to go. So we are hoping to reach Renee. I don't know what. We'll work on that.
Well, while we're waiting for Phil, everybody's horrified by this incident in the United Kingdom with these people who suffocated to death in a sealed container. And I'd like to know your thoughts about it.
Yeah. Well, I was struck by it, because it's a great tragedy. There's a lot of this sort of human trafficking, as we know, and people forget about it until there's an incident like this, or one in the Mediterranean, but all over the world there is commercialization and piracy of sorts, where people are going to find jobs in other countries so that they can maintain their families at home. But here's where I got interested in the story, because first of all, everybody immediately asked, well, who are they? 39 bodies, who are they? And so then it appeared that they said, well, authorities have identified them as Chinese. And so then everybody scratched their head and waited to hear, well, can they tell us more? But they, of course, this is forensics, and you have to sort of, but then politics starts to enter in. So I checked the Chinese foreign ministry. Actually, I was looking to see what they were thinking about various matters. Vice President Pence has just issued a particularly nasty comment about China. And even called out the NBA, called them a wholly owned subsidiary of China, which is a communist China, I think. So this was what was going on and was being raised at the press conference. So the spokesperson for the Chinese Foreign Ministry opened by saying, we are offended by this reckless and deranged comment, from the Vice President of the United States. China always reminds everybody, in international diplomacy, you do not speak of other states in the way that Americans tend to speak. And when I say Americans, I mean Obama, Bush, Clinton, the whole gang, all the way back. They tend to act like they're the only people in the room and that they own the room. So she said it was disparaging, it was inaccurate, it was a slander against China, and they would recommend to Mr. Pence, Vice President Pence, that he behave himself. She said, by the way, this came at a time when China is celebrating the 70th anniversary of its revolution and struggle for independence and development. And she said, we have the international recognition United Nations and other nations, of all the nations of the world, recognize through their study of numbers and statistics that China has made amazing progress in many, many areas. And she listed them. And, you know, the development of cities, increase in education, in longevity, you know, of people's lives, and their, you know, length of life, nutrition, everything is, you know, on the upgrade. And it's something that they celebrated. So then she takes questions. So a questioner says, what about this, the 39 Chinese report of the bodies? And she said, I don't have information available on that. It's obviously a human tragedy. China, like all other countries, worries about human trafficking. We'll have to wait till we know more, and you know, maybe we'll have something to say. So then, next question. Questioner says, you just outlined for us all the progress of your country, you know, 70 years. Well, now we have 39 dead Chinese in London. And so how do you adjust that to your claims of progress? And then she said, there's a couple of things I want to mention to you. One, you're speaking out of order, I notice. You just decided to take a microphone. And then she says, I notice you're from CNN. Then she said, I already pointed out we don't know all about this, but it is a human tragedy. There's no connection between that and the progress of our country, which I outlined. The facts, I only outlined the facts, but you have chosen to ask this provocative question based on no evidence. Now we know something. So they were from Vietnam. Not from China. And that is, by the way, that's not a reflection on Vietnam either. This is, or it is a phenomenon of human trafficking. But the meanness, the dirtiness of and the incompetence of a CNN reporter showing off, jumping to his feet, and he said, oh, you have great progress, but look at this. Why did people flee your country? It turns out they didn't flee the country. And we're talking about somebody else's country. And all he was trying to do was make a cheap, really a morbid advance, a suggestion that he knows something that he did not know. And the spokesperson for the Chinese Foreign Ministry really set him right, by the way, with tremendous cool and simple, clean language. It's why people don't watch their press conferences, because when Americans have press conferences, you know, they bring in the cattle and they fire a few shots in the ceiling and then they chase each other with banjos. You know, it's like, forget it. But the Chinese actually have professional people in command of the information, and they speak like human beings ought to speak to each other. So, by the way, evidence of 70 years of progress. And if I would say to Bush and Clinton and Trump, you guys may have gone 70 years in the other direction. Anyway, this is CIUT. It's a TED Report. And Stephen Cowens is speaking at 7 o'clock in Hamilton. I want you to know that. We don't have any particular progress yet on one. We'll talk about one other matter that I think the TED Report wants to call attention to today. Argentina has elected a progressive new president, vice president, and we're happy to say that the vice president is Cristina Kirchner Fernandez. And this is just tremendous because she is a legitimate left-of-center politician who fought with the IMF and fought with the austerity gang, fought with Washington. And they drove her from office, as they've been driving everybody from office in South America. And they have won the election by a wide margin, that party. And this is particularly important, I believe, because Chrystia Freeland and Vice President Pence and a group called the Lima Group have been trying to overthrow the government of Venezuela. And first listed first in the Lima group is Argentina. So I want to notify our Minister of External Affairs, or whatever they call it, Global Affairs now. By the way, that's not an improvement in title. It's a step down. It's confusing. But anyhow, Ms. Freeland just lost a player because Kirchner did not agree with this policy on Venezuela. We'll see how it works through. And this is for the Freeland gang, there's bad news from Chile because the attempt to maintain neoliberal attacks on the Chilean masses has now been met with a strong fight back, and the government of Chile is in a terrible situation. They, too, have been playing a dirty role against Venezuela. So, you know, this is this thing of, you know, let's form a gang and see if we can overthrow somebody, particularly in South America. South Americans are quite aware of the gringo phenomenon, the Yankee phenomenon. And when they don't like that. I mean, till this day, Fidel has always been left, right, and center in South America, and an admired figure because he was able to actually talk back and not take orders from the U.S. I mean, it's been a matter of what you call humiliation for that population. So this news from Argentina is very good news, as is the election of it's Evo Morales in Bolivia. There's also big trouble stirring in Colombia, which is the main, is the headquarters for the counter-revolutionary activity against Venezuela. And they are also in tumult. You know, these guys who raised their hand to strike down Venezuela may end up suffering a certain, there's a certain ailment that goes with that. It's kind of like those who raised their hands and hatchets to attack President Assad in Syria. A bunch of them are gone now.
I think you're talking about what's known as the Assad must go phenomenon, which is a long list of politicians who said Assad must go and who are now gone.
They're gone.
Yeah.
Yes. And it, again, it goes back to this thing that what the empire wants tends to unite all those who are not enthralled by the empire. And that's the syndrome. They call it the Assad syndrome. The president, yes. And we're seeing a similar thing in South America. This is the Taylor Report. Stephen Gowans is talking. It's 7 o'clock in Hamilton tonight, 24 West Main Street. I think we have some Lee Morgan because we love Lee Morgan. And then we'll come back and we'll probably be talking to Ann Garrison. It is the Taylor Report. Phil Collins is here. How are you doing, Phil?
Good.
Once again. Well, we've covered the Argentine victory, which to me is very important. I love Argentina anyway. You know, the Don't Cry For Me, Argentina, Eva Perón. I was thinking about that actually driving down here today. I thought, you know, of course I like Che, who's an Argentine. And you say, well, wouldn't it be great if... But I'll settle for Perón. Perón was a guy who spoke back too. And there's no question that's why he's a national hero, is that he did not take dictation from Washington. And, of course, it's an interesting phenomenon, the Peronistas. They have a left and a right, but they're known for understanding that you cannot desert the masses. You cannot...
You know, there's actually one more we didn't mention, which is Uruguay is having an election right now. And Uruguay has elected a progressive president, three elections running, and the right wing is saying time for a change. And it looks like, no, you don't get the change. We're going to...
Well, also, in Ecuador, we have
a fight back.
Public demonstrations. Yeah. And by the way, none of them are labeled by the Star, Globe, CBC as pro-democracy. Mm-hmm. And I would tip a little tip here. If you see a term pro-democracy demonstration, you know it's a CIA approved. Because why else would they write that? I mean, the demonstrations in Haiti are obviously pro-democracy. As we interviewed Zafar Bengash last week about the Kashmir situation. We asked him, first question, are they pro-democracy? Yes, they are, actually. Why doesn't our media label them that way? If they're pro-democracy, that means they're our little cousin. They belong to us. And, you know, and but it's kind of sick, actually. I mean, it's sort of such a, what do they call it in gambling, a tell. It's a guy,
well, I like that.
Yeah, he's kind of, oh, he said pro-democracy. I'm out of here. Yeah, you know, you're not going to need me. That means you have NATO on your side. Something to be aware of. And hey, this is our lucky day. We haven't hit a single call yet. Speaking of calling, by the way, you can also, it's time to say that you can support the station. You start supporting CIUT. We're going to be on the air on November 11, but you can jump in right now.
That's right. And then you get an extra chance at the early bird draw for some show tickets from Mervish. So that is if you go to the website now, CIUT.fm. Now, you heard all this at the top of the hour, but I just want to remind you, you have this great opportunity. And if I can give a plug for my own program, I'm going to be giving away some wonderful concert tickets on Sunday night to a contributor.
On Sunday night?
I'm sorry. No, the concert's on Sunday. On my on my show, Wednesday evening, 6 to 8, Classical Underground, I've got some hot tickets to a soprano from Abkhazia who's going to sing at the Kerner Hall. And we'll even tell you where Abkhazia is if you don't know, right?
What is that?
Abkhazia.
Abkhazia.
Abkhazia. Oh, see, am I saying it wrong?
You said
wrong. I said it wrong.
No, my joke. I think it is Abkhazia, but good for them. They're the ones who beat off the Georgians.
Right.
They were invaded by Georgia.
Invaded by Georgia.
These wonderful people.
And George Bush sat there laughing. The phone's ringing.
It is. You talk.
Oh, Phil says I got to talk because he's going to go answer the phone. That might be... we're hoping that's the person we're trying to interview, in that case. So I'll tell you what about my little draw on Wednesday night. When you call, and you'll get all the details. I'm going to mangle her name. We'll just say the soprano from Abkhazia will be singing at Kerner Hall Sunday night, and you'll have a chance to win a pair of tickets if you listen to Classical Underground Wednesday night. And
you're still selling your show?
No, I'm still selling my show. Absolutely, because you got one of the speakers.
I step out to get our next caller and our next caller.
Yeah, that's right.
It turns out I come back to a musical show. All right. Well, that's good. The enterprising journalist Stan Garrison has called us as we try to call her. It's one of those things. You know.
Well, that works.
Yeah.
They can call us.
And so we will be able to talk to her. By the way, Anne has got a distinguished prize winner, the Victoire Ingabire Prize for Journalism on Rwanda. And our first guest was to be Renee McGenzie. I'm going to tell you, by the way, that you should go to McGenzie's site. I shouldn't call it his site, but it's a global campaign for Rwandan human rights. And... It is, he has a Twitter account, they have a Twitter account, it's called Rwanda Rights, and so you just at Rwanda Rights. And so they, I have found there so much valuable information that, that really benefits anybody. It, the whole story of what happened in Rwanda 1990, between 1990 and 1994 has been mistold from the beginning. And there have been people base their reactions to the events on stories of crimes and stories of massacres. But when it comes to detailing where the crime happened, how many were massacred, and who they were, you discover there's more than one story. So Mr. Rene Magenzi and others at Rwanda Rights have helped us out on that. Let me just see here. The title of the group is of the site detailing the case that Rene Magenzi wishes to make is called Recognition of Criminal Genocide Against the Hutu Population. Phil, if you could remind us again about Mr. Gowans, and I'm going to see if I can get this connection.
Okay, so Mr. Gowans will be speaking at 7 p.m. tonight in Hamilton at the New Vision United Church, 24 Main Street West.
And well, what's his book? The title of his book?
He's got a lot of books.
No, this one is Beachhead in the Middle East. It's a story of his account of the origins of Israel, actually. And it's very apropos of the crisis we're going through right now with Syria, Lebanon. It's all involved with this, with Stephen Gowans, from Stephen Gowans' perspective on the history of British colonialism and as it has been furthered.
Israel, a beachhead in the Middle East, from European colony to U.S. power projection platform.
There you go.
That's a great title.
Yeah, so and Gowans comes in and out of the region periodically, but people always, when he's here, they want to catch him, so you definitely should. Again, while we're waiting for, and we will have Ann shortly, I'm confident, the at Rwanda Rights, it's with the Twitter account, I discovered a photograph of a man I knew and worked with in Arusha, Tanzania. A very smart, very capable individual. He was a United Nations International Criminal Tribunal of Rwanda investigator. And he was kidnapped off the streets in Nairobi. And his name is John Chrysostom. And he was taken, he was captured on June 23rd, 2015, and I saw there are two pictures of him, and there is an account. And what struck me, and I told the lawyers at the time, all UN lawyers, why are we standing by when a UN employee, he worked for the defense, that's in the eyes of Kagame's Rwanda, that was his crime. He is himself a Rwandan national, so, but he was certified investigator, which meant he'd been vetted, and he was employed, and he did very good work. A nicer man you couldn't meet, as they say. And he's just disappeared. It really pains me, and I hate to say it, but I mean, looking at his picture is very troubling, because the United Nations, to my knowledge, has not lifted a finger. They have a headquarters in Arusha, Tanzania. He was on the payroll there. That is, he was identified. This is Jean Chrysostom, who is a United Nations investigator, and with certain protections. I had that document myself. I traveled around Africa. I had to show that to various people in order to do my work. And also, that's my bona fide, is that I'm not just a visitor. So Jean had these things. And he was Not currently. He probably was, actually. I'm back up. I was going to say he wasn't currently on the case. He probably was working on some. And some individuals in police uniforms, dressed up as Kenyan police, that's according to the people who watched it, grabbed him as he came out of a market and threw him in a vehicle and took and disappeared. And that's 2015. So here we are all this time later. And we cannot get a word out of the powers that be. You want to see these evidence of crime, misbehavior. This is high-powered people we're talking about. They don't do their duty. They don't immediately contact the Kenyan authorities. They don't contact Rwandan authorities. They do nothing to help to locate this individual who was employed by the United Nations, John Christon. So again, go to that site at Rwanda Rights.
I think it's Rwandans Rights.
Rwandan Rights. Right. Rwandan Rights.
I think there's an S at the end of Rwanda. Rwandans Rights. Yeah.
You check it. Yeah, according to my notes, no. Yeah, but yeah. There you go. A dilemma. We leave it to our listeners to solve this problem.